Hello and welcome to Second Sunday on Monday. And that is because we had technical problems on Sunday. So my guest is Ole Damegaard. Hello, Ole.
Hi, Ruth Ann. How are you?
Hello? Oh, it's like, yep. Okay. Oh, I am great. And I'm so glad that we're trying this again, because every time you're on, we get lots of comments, and you have so much knowledge, and you're very free in sharing it, because you really want people to wake up. And in fact, I think it was, where did I read it? It was a poem you wrote back in the 90s, and you said, wake up, wake up. We gotta wake up now. And I mean, it was true then, it's even truer now. So I just want to give a little bit of background. You have been, since the 80s, I believe, or even earlier, interested in and researching assassinations of world leaders and events. And you started out with the Swedish premier when he was assassinated. I believe that was the first one, wasn't it?
No, for me it was JFK in the early 80s. That it was the first time.
I'm sorry, it was JFK in the.
Yeah. So for me, I just.
You're
came
breaking
back
up.
From
I
the,
don't know what's happening.
Hang on 2 seconds.
Hey, you're totally lost.
I'm
you
back.
There.
No, I'm here now.
Okay, now you're back. Okay. Yes. You came back from Dallas, Texas, right?
Yeah, I was one of the key speakers at the JFK conference. I was invited by Judith Vary Baker, who was the lover of no one less than D. Harvey Oswald in those days. And it was an absolute incredible experience for me to go there, since I spent so many thousands of hours trying to really uncover the real truth behind this assassination. So I was even asked to represent the people of Europe and give a small talk in Dealey Plaza while just after the silent minute on November the 22nd this year. So an incredible honor. I was so touched and, like a full circle coming to an end.
Yeah, that had to be a very moving time. And to have people gathered there for 3 days, because I think most people know that we weren't told the truth, that the Warren Commission was just garbage, pretty much. And we still really don't know. But I think that you have discovered enough in your investigations to say that the same people, the same small group, is responsible for these assassinations around the world, the false flags, and all of that. Am I right?
What I'm saying is that many of these things are connected. I had no idea when I started some 30-odd years ago, I had no idea that they were connected. But over the years, I found that when I looked into many, many of these major assassinations and false flags and alleged terror attacks, once you really start digging in and uncover the facts and the proof, the evidence behind these events, it leads you back to the same people, the same power structure, the same very greedy elite few who have used this tool of death and destruction to get in the position they are in today.
Yeah. You mentioned false flags, and you wrote a book called Nobody Died at Sandy Hook. And I do want to say also that your books are on Amazon, but you can go there from www.lightonconspiracies.com, which is your website. You have so much information on there. But I wanted to mention Sandy Hook because I remember when it happened, I mean, we all do, And you went first. I was horrified. And I swear, Olay, maybe because we have talked before that, I don't know how much of an influence, but I mean, I'm quite cynical about these things myself now. And it didn't take long for me to think, this is just another false flag. But I tried to talk to people about that, and oh my God, nobody wanted to hear that. Did you find that when you were researching?
Yeah, first of all, I didn't write this book. I was part of a team that has been writing these books. It's a whole series of books that covers everything from the moon landings, Sandy Hook, the Boston bombings, JFK, 9/11, and it's a whole long series. It's published by Moon Rocks. You can find it on moonrockbooks.com. But the Sandy Hook one, that is, it's a very touchy one, because the thing is, once you start digging into the evidence, it becomes super clear that it was a total staged event. There was absolutely no death, and it was an inside job trying to scare us into obedience and give up our weapons. It was just like so many of these other so-called mass shootings, where you got a lone crazy guy that is blamed for this whole thing, and where the problem is the weapon, and the solution is that the population needs to give up the weapons. But Sandy Hook is... it's quite advanced in the number of people involved in the operation itself, and this is why it makes it so difficult for normal people to understand that it was actually a setup. But just one thing, I can, like, this book about Sandy Hook, I think it's about 475 pages, where it's about 12 different PhDs, researchers, doctors, scientists, that each write different chapters on these events. And one thing about Sandy Hook, if you doubt, you can just go to FBI's own website. You go to Newtown, which is where Sandy Hook is under, and you check out the number of homicides that year, and it's zero. Zero. So not even FBI has really got their stuff together, you know. And,
my goodness.
And also, you
yeah.
Receive...
Well, I know that they tore down the school. Go ahead.
School wasn't even active. It hadn't been active for years. And the thing is, that what we go through in this book is just take it apart one step by one, you know, just check it out, all the different photos, the angles, the evidence, the interrogations, the footage. It doesn't match up whatsoever because it was not a real event. But it's a very, very touchy one to criticize, because there's so many children. This is the same. If you remember the template, how they pull off false flags, they need to get to us emotionally, and that is why they aim at women and children. This is the way to get to our emotions. And Sandy Hook is the super example of how it's done.
Yes.
And I tell you, it came to a point where this book was banned from Amazon. Amazon just stopped it. And so what Jim Fetzer and I and other people involved, what we did was we made a new cover where a big sort of like emblem on the side saying banned by Amazon, and then we gave it out for free. You can go to my website, lightonconspiracies.com. You go on the books, and you will see free Nobody Died at Sandy Hook. You can download it as a PDF. And then in the meantime, while we were spreading this out in the thousands for free, Fetzer found a new publisher, and on the Moon Rock Books, they have published a second version, a more updated version. But if you're interested in this thing, please go to my website and download the free version and judge for yourself.
Right. Oh my goodness. No, I didn't. Wow. Yeah, you said that they tried, and women and children are one of the things. I remember when it happened, because, you know, several of my friends just in tears and all of this, and I said, well, you know, that's horrible if this happened, but that was right when the U.S. had murdered 50-some people in a wedding party in Afghanistan. And I mentioned that, and that didn't seem to make any dent, you know? It's, I mean, yeah, people sometimes priorities, and they're skewed. People don't want to think that we're being lied to like we are. I think that's part of it, the whole denial. But you wanted to briefly talk about your, go ahead. Okay, you were just breaking away.
No, this thing you say about the nationality
okay, the
is really interesting because
were broken.
No, this thing about different nationalities, like you
because
say that when you're in the States,
the victims
need to be American to get the emotional impact. In Europe, it's different, and you will see that the last years, the 2016 in specific, many of these false flags in Europe that I have covered each and every one in great detail, you will see that the alleged victims, the claimed victims, I once again put a massive question mark to all of them, are from multiple countries. So if there's like 10 claimed dead people, you will have like 8 different nationalities. And this is also to involve emotion as many countries as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And now they even started that the lone crazy guy has dual citizenship. You know, he's French Tunisian, or he's Danish Palestinian, or he's German. Also to sort of embrace more countries in this terror, absolute terror. So I tell you, every time you hear about a lone crazy guy, please be aware that this could very well possibly be a false flag.
Yes.
Listen.
And when in this country, they try to connect it to Islam also.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, you can follow the trends when it comes to the patsy or the boogeyman. You can follow the trends more or less in the James Bond movies. You know, in the old days, it was Bulgarians, it was Russians, East Germans in the Cold War. Then when the wall came down, they were confused there for a while. They tried with the alien threat, didn't really work. And that's when the Islamic terrorist entered the stage. I mean, there were no Islamic terrorists before then, but suddenly the whole world was full of them. But so many of these are setups, I'm telling you, it is just the way it's done. I was thinking, if you were mentioning this song that I read the lyrics from, if you want to, I can read them here, because even though I wrote these lyrics in the 90s, they're still very much up to date.
Yes, please. Please do.
Okay, it's called From Prison to Paradise. This was,
yes,
I got
please.
Inspired after.
Please read, yes.
The first time I met David Icke in the early 90s, it was a very big change in my way of understanding these events after meeting him. And so I wrote this song afterwards, and it's called From Prison to Paradise. Goes like
yes.
this. Once upon a time, in a place not far from here, there was so much loneliness there and oh, so much fear. Darkness ruled all over the land. There were lightning in the sky, causing wars and separation, with no one knowing why. These evil times raised leaders, disguised as kind and true, hiding the truth in misty fog so only very few people knew. Controlled by an elite few, manipulating you and me, closing out the light and power that can make us all be free. Wake up, we gotta wake up now. Forced by invisible powers, demanded to conform into shapes unknown to mankind, making him totally abnormal. Drowned in debts and sorrows, blaming others for their lot, made man believe to be inferior, feeling tiny like a dot. But then came times of change, covering countries and their towns. Few became many, and soon the prison walls came down. Starting with the men in the mirror, staring right back into their eyes, understanding that this was a chance to stop those hideous lies. Happiness is merely an illusion of misery based on brainwash and a misconception of true reality. From now on, let's build bridges between our souls and hearts so we together can rejoice when the final change comes to its start. Wake up, we gotta wake up now. Turning prison into paradise may seem too much to achieve, but believe me, it only takes one strong spirit to be free. The true power of a pyramid is never ever at the top. Instead, it's through the people that can make this global game stop. Did you get it? Wake up, we gotta wake up now.
Wow, I love that. That is so true. The real power is not at the top. But so many people have been conditioned to believe that.
If you take a human pyramid.
People are in the process of waking up. Don't you believe that?
Sorry, say again, please.
You said if you take the human pyramid.
Take a human pyramid and see where is it the most vulnerable. I mean, where can you make a change? If you take away the top, it doesn't really affect the pyramid. But if you take one of the people at the bottom, the whole thing will just collapse. We are the ones in power, you know, but we need to step out of the game or step into the game and stop it.
Yeah. All right, we need to buy into this this program that we are weak, because we aren't. And together, I mean, you know, but that's why they do all this, to keep us divided. And they will use race, religion, sex, anything to keep us divided. We have to see through that. You mentioned some of these people that you've investigated the detonations of and the events. Recently, well, before we get into that, actually, recently you were one of the people who received the Peace Prize 2016, and along with David Icke and Jim Mars and a couple other people. So congratulations on that. And also recently, you discovered some more about the Martin Luther King assassination. Welcome. Can you tell us about the Martin Luther King assassination, what you just found out?
It is, you know, what very few people know is that there was actually a trial in 1999, just before the millennium shift, where the King family was having a trial against one of the people involved in the assassination. Not for money, it was about $100, that was all that was the thing. But they got a legal conviction and a decision from the court saying that there was a conspiracy behind the murder of Martin Luther King, that the forces involved were parts of the FBI, Secret Service, and other government agencies, and so on, where some of the people, there was also military intelligence and so on. I would say, more or less the same setup like behind the JFK assassination, as Martin Luther King, as Robert Kennedy. There was even people from taking
right.
part of more than one of these assassinations. And one of the people, there are several over the years that have done incredible work, like you got the Dick Gregory, you have Dr. William Pepper, who was the attorney of James Earl Ray, also the attorney of Sirhan Sirhan, the alleged assassin of Robert Kennedy. And so it's thanks to them that so much information has come out. But what I have been doing many interviews the last few months, and I hope being part of spreading new light into certain areas, was that key people in the assassination were Jesse Jackson and Reverend Samuel Billy Kiles, not as shooters, but part of getting Martin Luther King in the position where he would be assassinated. It is gruesome. It is a very, very ugly truth.
Really? Oh my.
I feel very sad to see the message of bad news, but this is what has come forward.
Oh my goodness. Jesse Jackson? And who else did you say? A name we recognize?
Yeah, Reverend Samuel Billy Kiles. He was the pastor that had invited the Kin party to a barbecue that evening when he got shot. But you will see, once you start getting into it, if you want to, we can go into great details about this assassination. You will see that he is a very, very important person in setting up the stage for the assassination, because there were multiple shooters, and including army snipers, and the whole setup was just like with most of these other major assassinations, and where they needed to get King in position at a specific time when all shooters were activated, and in a specific location on the upper level, on the center of the balcony, so that all the shooters could have him in sight. And this was where one of the people, the person who managed to get King up on the second floor, because he had looked for a room on the ground floor, but Jesse Jackson contacted the motel, Little Rain Motel, and got them to change the room up until room 306 on the second floor. He's also part of many other things around this assassination, which makes him super, super suspect in my eyes and other people's. And Reverend Samuel Billy Kiles were also there to get him in position so that he could get assassinated, including getting him to the right hospital, because he did not die at the balcony, which most of us thought for many years. He actually survived that. He was brought in an ambulance to St. Joseph's Hospital, and it was there where the chief surgeon, a doctor by the name of Dr. Breen Bland, he, together with two people in suits, I don't know if they were CIA or whatever they were, in the emergency room where the staff was working to try and save Dr. King, he just got all the rest of the staff out, pulled out the catheter, and then took a pillow and put over the face of Dr. King and suffocated him. That is where he died, at St. Joseph's Hospital. And now it's a gruesome story, really, really ugly.
That is gruesome. That is gruesome. What do you think that the military and the CIA and all of these, the government, what would they use to get Dr. Samuel, I didn't get his last name, and Jesse Jackson to play along with this?
Well, no, the normal thing is money and fame is one of them. If you know, I mean, Jesse Jackson, he's built his whole career upon being close to Dr. King, and being his follower, or his the one that took over, which was absolutely not the intention of Dr. King. If you notice the very last speech he gave, you know, the one, "I've Been on the Mountaintop," which he gave at the Mason Temple the evening before the assassination, he was very aware of that he was going to be taken out shortly, or that the risk was very high. And he made a very clear point in this speech to point out his best friend, Dr. Ralph Abernathy, his successor. But this is not what happened. Instead, it was Jesse Jackson that has built his whole career upon this. But it's if you want to, I can go into some details about his involvement.
Wow.
You know, Samuel Billy Kiles, he even had a Freudian slip, because he has made like hundreds and hundreds of interviews where he was always telling the same story about how he and Abernathy and Dr. King spent the last hour together in the room 306 at the Lorraine Motel, speaking about the preacher stuff and so on. And then he keeps saying the same story, repeating it over and over again. He said that King was standing at the balcony. He was standing next to him, and he holds up his two fingers, like Dr. King was standing here, I was standing here. And just when I went, when I moved away, the shot rang out. That is what he said every single time, except once on camera. You can find it on YouTube. I have also an uploaded YouTube video where I put many of these clips together, so you can hear it from his own mouth, where he said, only as I moved away so that he could get a clear shot did the shot rang out.
Wow. Yeah, I want to mention that you are on YouTube simply as Ole Damigard, O-L-E, space D-A-M-E-G-A-R-D. You're also on Facebook at Ole Damigard, Truth Seeker, Conspiracies, Mind Awareness, False Flag Op. Yes. So you're around. And you have been doing so many interviews.
I don't know. It's up in the... I don't know how many hundreds of interviews. I have no idea.
I know. And I was surprised to see that, you know, Cambodia, and not just like Western Europe and the United States, Canada, but in other countries. So people are interested in this worldwide. I really think that a lot of people in other parts of the world know more about what's going on in the United States than a lot of the citizens in the U.S.
I totally agree. I believe that the U.S., no disrespect, but are among the most naive populations around, because you have been fed this version that you are the center of the world and that everybody else is sort of bowing down. But it's actually, there's a whole world out there that where so many things are going on that is not even connected to the U.S., and where the U.S. is actually, the U.S. military is actually used as the terror tool in the world. That this is the word of Chip Tatum, a CIA whistleblower who's been in the military his whole life. And this is the sad story, how the U.S. military is brainwashed into believing that they're going out to liberate and free other countries for democracy and so on. But that is absolutely not true. The U.S. Army is there to totally terrorize the rest of the world into obedience so that countries can be taken over for their minerals, their oil, their diamonds, or the locations, strategic locations, or for gun smuggling, drug smuggling, pedophile trafficking, child trafficking. That is the true picture. In combination with the NATO troops now and the UN troops as well, they're more and more getting entangled.
No, that's true, and it seems that NATO and the UN are pretty, in my opinion, worthless anyway, because, I mean, as far as being peacekeepers or anything like that, because they are run by, the UN is run by the U.S., and they can veto whatever. I personally think that actually UN or the organization that owns it should have headquarters not in the U.S., but the headquarters should move maybe 4 years or something, and the U.S. shouldn't have the dominant vote. But you're right, because we grow up, and it's not pounded into us, but it's more of a sub thing that we are this wonderful country, and we go go to other countries to improve their lives. We're never told that we're there to steal the resources, to back up companies that steal the resources. And I have a friend who is pretty aware of a lot of things, but she still stresses the humanitarian aspect of the U.S. military. And the only time that it's doing anything humanitarian is as a side effect. That's not why they're there. So, you know, there's so much that the people here, people I think are waking up slowly. But we've just been taught that, you know, God is on the side of the U.S. And, you know, it was formerly in the Pledge of Allegiance, and a lot of people still use that, you know, your God. And they talk about us being a Christian nation, which it isn't, never was. But it's just more of the myth that we are exposed to and told. So it's very hard to find that everything that you have been told and learned was either a lie or based on a lie. I mean, it's very disheartening. And some people just want to stay in denial. I don't have to say about that.
I can totally agree. I mean, this is a very painful awakening. It is for all of us. And but they say, you know, when it comes to the U.S., the only way you can believe the American dream is mm-hmm. when you're asleep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's very, very sad, I think, when you look at all of these people signing up for the military, thinking that they're going to do the right thing. It's the same with the military, the police forces, SWAT teams, and so on, believing that they're going to do good for society and so on. But it's very important to understand that at this point in history, the governments have been hijacked. There are criminals, super criminals, in charge, and they're just totally using us in every way and form they can. And they have absolutely no loyalty when it comes to taking care of their soldiers when they come back dead or wounded or without limbs or whatever, or police officers or anything like that. The loyalty is only from us towards them. The minute they don't need us or they fear us, they're just empty uniforms, and they will get rid of whoever it is. You know, so it's but it's for me, it's almost like a daily unlearning of what I thought I knew, and then what I now understand has been fed to us. That is, a lot of it is based on absolute lies. And there, when you look at the former CIA director Casey, once he said that
yes.
The day when the American population, when everything they believe is based on lies, we have succeeded and we're very close. That is what he said many years ago. So a lot of what we have believed up to now is absolutely not true. So, but it's up to us, each and every one of us, to educate ourselves with real knowledge and find our way back. Because if you look at the world now, it's so out of balance due to this whole situation. So it's our duty, I would say, to inform us about what's actually going on so that we can transcend and get Mother Earth back in this beautiful balance she's supposed to be.
I agree, because these people who are, just say, at the quote-unquote top of all of this, they really don't care about the Earth. They don't care about us. We know they don't care about us. And they will destroy. You mentioned the military. You know, still in the U.S., 22 veterans commit suicide every day. They are sent off under false pretenses. They do horrible, despicable things. They come back They're physically, mentally injured. Sometimes they just can't take it, and they kill themselves. There's some organizations, Veterans Peace, different things like that. You know, Israel, there's an organization there called Breaking the Silence, and that is ex-IDF soldiers who are trying to get some kind of maybe redemption or something for the things that they've done to the Palestinians. And it's a wonderful site. And then they have their website, Breaking the Silence. But, you know, they've come to realize, and sometimes they realized when they were doing it, but they were forced to do it. But now some of them are going to jail. And all, some Israelis go to jail rather than join the service. And here, there's people from wealthier families that go in the military, but many are poor people who see this as the only way they can get an education. And also they're told that, you know, they're keeping us free. And I say, you know, I haven't slapped anybody yet, but again, I'm going to bitch slap the next person that tells me that their kid is over, you know, fighting, killing innocent people to keep me free, because that is just such a lie.
If you look at the military, the U.S. military, the force that the U.S. have, I believe that it's more or less, I'm not totally sure if this is correct, but I believe more or less you got the same firepower than the rest of the world together. And so when you look at the so-called terrorist states like Libya, Syria, Iran, and so on,
yes.
How many wars have they started in the recent, like the last 200-300 years? How many wars? One, maybe one, in, and so on. If you look at the North Korea and all of the and other countries that are being painted out as a terrorist state, how many wars, how many acts of aggression towards their neighboring countries? And then you look at the U.S., we're talking in the hundreds. When were you at peace last time? I mean, I don't know how many wars have been started on base, most of them based on false flags. But where the U.S. have been involved as a major part, it is up in the hundreds. And the only reason why the false flags are being used again and again and again is that nobody would dare to attack you, because it would be total madness, because you would just squash whoever would try to. So it is all a theater play where they changed the wording so that instead of rape and plunder, they call it liberty. You know, it's called Operation Desert Storm or Diamond Dust, whatever they call it, some fancy name. But
yeah,
it should be rape, plunder, slaughter, killing innocent. But that never worked. So they can't use you like that. And also, all of these. If I'm full of it, then I ask you, what kind of commander, what kind of president would allow his soldiers to be treated in medical experiments, would be exposed to radiation, depleted uranium in the ammunition, depleted uranium used in some of the tanks and so on? What kind of leader would do that, would not take care of his soldiers coming home, would not look after them, would not take care of them, would allow thousands of them to commit suicide? What does that tell you? It tells you that there is no loyalty. People in uniform are totally being used for the desire of the elite few. They call themselves the elite few. I have other names that is not that pretty. But the thing is, they, when you look at it globally, the so-called elite, they're only in the thousands.
Yes.
We are billions. We are billions. So really, it's almost like a joke to be in this situation. It's only because we have been totally brain dead and so asleep that we've ended up in this situation. And it's time to wake up now, even though it's painful.
Yes, the truth, knowing the truth better, even though it's painful, I totally agree, than living in that la-la land and being in denial. Because once you know the truth, you can start figuring out ways to bring it to the surface and work to make things better. What you were saying is, you know, the U.S. has something like over 800, possibly 900 military bases around the world. Now, that is just pretty much occupation. I mean, it's there's no reason for that. Like you said, all of these countries, I mean, they're not attacking the U.S. This is what we're told. We're sending women over the water to preserve our freedom. And people just have to wake up. There's other ways called education should free. So it shouldn't be the kind of thing that you have to go on and kill other people for. You know, that's just, it's so sad. There's such wrong with this capitalist system. I can't even begin to begin. But what you said, the so-called elite, that's what I say too. When people say elite, I say so-called, because elite to me means like really good, strong, moral people. And we know that the so-called elite class is moral. Like you were talking about, what kind of a leader would let soldiers go through all of this? But that's because the soldiers aren't people to them. They're just numbers. And like keeping the lives, they keep getting more people involved in the military. I don't know. Somebody recently said they think that we may be going to a draft soon. I don't know about that. I don't know if there's been a falling down in numbers of people joining a draft or something. So I don't know where we go from there. The cancer virus. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
I am absolutely not an expert, but I can tell you the story of SV40, the cancer virus that is now by some experts said to be behind this whole global epidemic that is causing so many deaths at the moment. It is actually, it has come out via a woman called Judith Vary Baker, who was the mistress, young lover of Lee Harvey Oswald, the alleged assassin of JFK, which he was absolutely not. He had nothing to do with the killing itself at all. But what he and Judith Vary Baker was involved in the early 60s, was that there was, in the late 50s and early 60s, there was a massive big campaign about a polio vaccine. It was almost like the swine flu, the whole, you know, like a pumped up propaganda machine that was set up to give hundreds of millions of people this polio vaccine. And one of the doctors in charge of that was a man called Altan Oshner. He was one of the top medical people in New Orleans. And a week or so before they were going to start injecting these vaccines into the American population, one of his colleagues, a female scientist, she discovered that there was actually live cancer-causing monkey viruses in this vaccine. So she went up to Dr. Altan Oshner and said, please, please, we need to stop it. We need to stop it. So Altan Oshner said, absolutely no way is that going to happen. You shut up and get out of my sight. You know, but somehow this leaked out to media, and they had to call for a press conference. So Dr. Altan Oshner, he had his two grandchildren, a boy and a girl, and he said this polio vaccine is totally harmless. It's not dangerous at all. And to prove it, he injected both of these two children, his grandchildren. Well, one of them died within 24 hours, and the other one had a severe case of polio for the rest of her life. anyway, even though this happened, they started injecting this cancer virus into hundreds of millions of, I think it's about 200 million Americans, but also many, many millions in Europe and Russia. I'm one of them. Do you know, do you remember this song? With a little sugar in the bottom, the medicine goes down. That was a part of the whole propaganda drive for people to take these vaccines. Some of them was dropped on sugar.
Right.
But anyway, right after that, I mean, they started pumping these vaccines into millions of people. While they were doing it, they understood that, my God, we're going to see an epidemic, a global epidemic of cancer if we don't manage to stop this. So Alton Oxner started like a special secret research team that was going to try and find a cure for this thing. But what they found was that in this vaccine, the polio vaccine, the virus, which is called SV40, was extremely violent. It's an extremely cancer-causing virus. So the people in top in the CIA and so on, they thought, why don't we use this as a weapon instead? So they started doing a lot of experiments trying to create a cancer-causing weapon that could kill somebody within a month. And at that point, the one they were aiming at was Fidel Castro in Cuba, but just taken over there, and he was a major threat. So they started recruiting some of the brightest minds in the U.S., and one of them was a very young girl, 19-year-old, with the highest IQ in Florida, Judy Sperry Baker. She had done a lot of experiments on her own, and she was the one in the U.S., as far as I know, who could create the most, the fastest growing cancer virus in at that time. She was doing all these experiments to try and find a cure, but here suddenly we had people in the CIA and the power structure who was interested in turning this into a weapon. So they got Judy Sperry Baker to New Orleans without her really understanding what she was getting into. And in New Orleans, she bumped into, by accident, she thought, Lee Harvey Oswald. But he was actually put there as her controller. And Lee Harvey Oswald then introduced her to people like David Ferry, Clay Shaw, Jack Ruby, Dr. Mary Sherman, and Alton Oshner, and so on, where without her understanding, she was being sucked into this cancer weapon creation secret project. I don't know how to describe it. And the task that Lee Harvey Oswald had at that point, this was like years before, a year before the assassination of JFK, was his task was to move the samples from these different secret laboratories. They had very, very advanced laboratories where with X-rays and I don't know what the English words are for it, but it was very important that this was kept super secret. So Judy Sperry Baker got herself deeply involved in this whole thing. And also, while all of this was going on, this was also why Lee Harvey Oswald was in Mexico City applying for a visa to Cuba, because the plan was to bring this cancer virus in a thermos to Cuba, and then they had people in Cuba that would get it to Fidel Castro, because they needed to get it inside his body. Because the secret with this SV40 virus is that it gets activated by radiation. And in those days, radiation was the way to cure cancer. So the idea was to get the virus inside the body of Fidel Castro. Then they would say, oh my God, he's got a slight case of cancer. Let's give him radiation. And then when giving him radiation would then accelerate the whole development of the cancer virus, and it would kill him within 29 days. This is the same virus that was later injected and that killed Jack Ruby in 28 or 29 days as well. So to make a long, long story short, well, we don't have to go into the JFK assassination, but the whole thing is just an incredible, incredible story where there's a book called Dr. Mary's Monkeys, very, very interesting book, and also Judith Vera's book, Me and Lee, where she describes the whole thing, what happened, and also how Lee Oswald became the love of her life and how he was actually aware of him being set up as a patsy as early as the 29th of July 1963. That's almost like 6 months before the assassination. But where he was doing everything he could to stop the assassination. He was the one sending the FBI telex out, blowing the whistle on the attack in Dallas. He was the one that stopped in Chicago and tried everywhere to stop it. So really, when you look at it, Lee Harvey Oswald was not a lone crazy gunman who tried to or killed the president of the USA. He sacrificed his life trying to stop it. And the more I learn about Lee Oswald, and I'm now very proud to say that I'm a very, very close friend of Judith Vera Baker and many other people that were involved in the assassination or around it, the more I see him as an absolute hero that knew what he got himself into, because he was sort of, by being painted out as patsy, he knew what was going on and was being sucked into these gangs where the assassination was planned and carried out. And he even knew that he was going to sacrifice his life, that it would kill him, and still he went ahead with it. He did everything he could. And one of the last phone calls he had with Judith Vera Baker, they were both crying, and he, knowing that this was the last time they would talk, he said that any bullet, one bullet, that would be one bullet less for Kennedy. So it is the official story is totally upside down.
Wow. No, that's very sad. Well, you mentioned they were trying to kill Castro. Evidently, from what I've heard, CIA and other parts of the government here in the U.S. made at least a dozen attempts to kill Fidel, and that didn't work. He recently died, and I mean, I know he was 90, but it's still really me. Went long ago, president of Venezuela. Many people say he had been injected with some kind of cancer. Do you believe that's a possibility, Ole?
I sure do. And nowadays they liquefied and also vaporized as well, so that you can get sprayed by these things or in powder form, and so there's no injection needed and anything. So they're highly, highly toxic, some of these viruses, and many. This is one of the most normal ways of assassinating people nowadays, is with these extremely fast cancer viruses, and this is also this SV40. They were calculating that the time frame for this cancer epidemic to start, if they couldn't stop it, would be around, I think, the early 90s, late 80s and early 90s. And this is when we start seeing where people, very healthy, very fit, you know, not drinking, not smoking, not doing anything, young women, young men, and so on, are suddenly having cancer. And according to Judith Vera Baker and other researchers, it's the SV40 virus that is so involved in so many of these awful deaths all over the world. And also, this is why It is extremely dangerous with all types of radiation that we get. You know, these new body scanners, and when you go to the dentist, when you go to the doctor, all of these X-rays in and out of schools. You know, serve in the States with checkpoints for weapons and all of these. Every time that sort of triggers these SB40 viruses to activate. So I just want to say, when it comes to body scanners, please be aware that they are not mandatory. You think they are because you're standing in a long line at the airport that you have to go through them. Just don't do it. Just say, no, thank you, I don't want to. And maybe they will. I do it all the time. I say, I'm not going through it. And they sometimes they're very kind and they say, okay, we got an opt-out here. A male opt out, so please stand over there, and you will get a body search. And so they do; they just give you a good body search, fair enough. And you don't go through this horrible thing, because you have to see also the ownership behind the company selling these very, very dangerous machines. In my opinion, are the same people that are behind all this other crap. So these machines, I do not trust them at all, and it was. Otherwise, I know once in Holland, you know, I said, I and my family, we're not going through that one. And there was this very nice lady who totally believed that they were good. You know, this is the thing with people employed. They are being told and educated that there's no danger. They will tell you anything to make you do your job and not understand what's actually going on. So she was like, for 4 or 5 minutes trying to persuade me to go through, and I said, I just kept repeating, is it mandatory or is it not? Is it mandatory or is it not? Is it mandatory or is it not? If it's not mandatory, I would like not to go through it. Thank you, but no, thank you. And then in the end she said, but then you have to do things. And I said, okay, fine, I will do things what you want me to. And she said, you have to take off your shoes. I said, okay, and that was it. You know, so be aware of these things and opt out. This is the whole thing with so many of these things. It's only because we accept them that they carry out. If they need our consent to so many of these things. That is why they put like almost trailers out in films and of upcoming events. That is why they go out in media saying, we will now attack this country. That is why they put up these warnings, and it's only when we say okay, then they can carry it out. I think it's the way they interpret the law of karma is that if they tell us what they're going to do and we do not react, then the bad karma is on our shoulders, not theirs. And so they're very, very aware of that, and they keep doing it. So every time they put it out there saying, oh, this is what we expect going to happen. Now there's going to be this and this and this. They're there to. These things are being pumped out to get our consent. If we say no, they cannot do it, or they will not do it. So very, very important that we take an active part of this whole development.
What it's about, we don't have to get into it. We don't have to do these things just mindlessly, because somebody tells us to. Question thing. Educate yourself. Our team is up. One of the good places you can educate yourself is at www.lightonconspiracies.com. And there you can find out so much about everything that Olay is about, and also you can to books he's written from there, or just go and type in Olay Damagard, because this is how Olay actually makes his living, is by the research. It takes so much time, and yet he finds time to do interviews, spread word. So, friend, thank you so very much for coming on, and I hope we do it again in the not too distant future.
Anytime, Ruth, and anytime. It's always a big pleasure.
Thank you. Some delay here. But I don't know. It's not Olay or I. It has to be Blog Talk. So hopefully we'll get that taken care of. So don't forget, Olay is at Light on Conspiracies and on YouTube and on Facebook. So I think it's almost the evening where you are. So good evening. Everyone, bye.